I'm not proud of how lonely I got after my breakup. I'm 40 and work in tech. Let's just say I don't exactly light up a room. After the end of a 5-year relationship, I hit a pretty low place. That's when I downloaded Tinder. I used Tinder as a temporary distraction from serious relationships. And one day, I met Darla. She was 35, with red hair, kind eyes, and a smile that somehow made me feel seen. A little quirky, sure. She said she lived in an old farmhouse on the outskirts of town and cared for her paralyzed grandfather. She was funny, honest, and actually seemed interested. After a couple of casual dates, she invited me to stay over at her place. She said it would be nice to cook me something homemade, and she didn't like leaving her grandpa alone at night. I hesitated for a second, thinking how fast it was moving, but I was craving connection, so I agreed. The farmhouse was far into the woods. It looked old but cozy, surrounded by a rustic charm. She greeted me with a kiss and a warm smile, then showed me around. The living room was full of antiques. The kitchen smelled like herbs and raw meat. She said she was making stew, her grandfather's favorite. That's when I first noticed something strange. Big chunks of raw meat sitting out on the counter. No fridge, no ice. I asked if she was going to put them away.
Nah, the doctor prescribed it that way. Grandpa's on a full meat diet, you know?
As night came, the farmhouse grew eerily quiet. We sat on the couch and talked, but my eyes kept drifting to the hallway, to Grandpa's door. She said he was paralyzed, couldn't speak, and hadn't left his bed in years. But I never once heard him. No creaks, no coughs, nothing. At around 11, she got up, saying she needed to change her grandpa into sleeping clothes and give him his medicines. After she left, I started to feel bored, so I wandered around the house. I walked over to the basement door. Out of curiosity, I opened the door, and a wave of reeking odor hit me in the face. It smelled like something died down there. I grabbed my phone for light and started down the wooden stairs. As I descended, my knees started trembling. There were jars, dozens of them, filled with what looked like human parts. Fingers, eyeballs, and pieces of flesh floating in cloudy red fluid. There were crates stacked with bones. Some still had blood and skin on them. And hanging from the ceiling on rusted meat hooks were human torsos. Cut open, ribs exposed. One still had a wedding ring on. I threw up right there.
What the hell?
Suddenly, I heard a sound upstairs. The bathroom door swung shut. I rushed up the stairs, locked the basement door again, and returned to the couch just in time. Darla smiled at me.
Everything okay?
I forced a grin. Yeah, just stretching my legs. My brain was screaming. I needed to get out, fast. But I noticed a deadbolt on the front door, and there was no key in sight. I didn't want to raise suspicion, so I told her I was worn out and asked if I could lie down. She agreed and led me down the hallway, right past her grandfather's room. The door of the room was open, and I saw this small window near the bed. The window was just large enough for me to climb through, which was likely my only escape route. She pointed me at the guest room across the hall.
I'll be back in a minute with blankets. Just make yourself at home.
As soon as she left, I tiptoed into Grandpa's room. It was pitch black. I used my phone again, low brightness. He was lying in bed. His face was hidden behind a curtain hanging from the ceiling, like in hospitals. There were stacked up plates under his bed with flies buzzing on them. My blood curled, thinking I was in the same room with the cannibal. I kept my eyes on him and moved toward the window. It was old and stiff, but I managed to slide it open inch by inch without making much noise. I was almost done when I heard slow, raspy breathing coming from the bed. I froze. I looked back, and without warning, the man's head turned. It snapped to the side like a doll. His eyes opened wide, and I swear on my life, he smiled. Not a soft smile. A grotesque, crooked grin that stretched too far. His teeth were sharp and filthy, like they'd grown past what was human. I panicked and climbed out the window, scraping my arm on the way down. I didn't stop to look back. I just ran through the woods until I hit the main road. I hitchhiked to a gas station, from where I called the cops. They went back to the house that night. Here's the part I still don't understand. When they got there, the house was empty. Darla, Grandpa, and the horror in that basement were all gone. They said the place hadn't been lived in for years. They showed me property records. The last listed owner was a man named Roy Miller, a butcher. He had been paralyzed after a farm accident in the late 90s. He died in 2003. And Darla? There was no record of anyone with that name connected to the property. No license, no social, nothing. I check the news every week for stories about missing men, and I can't use dating apps anymore. But sometimes, at night, I'll dream about that house. And in the dream, I'm back in that room, staring into those wide, dead eyes of that old cannibal, as the broken grin slowly stretches across his face. This happened about 4 months ago, and even now, I still double-check every window before going to bed. It started with a Tinder match. His name was Liam. He was a photographer, the artsy kind. His profile was filled with striking black and white portraits, mostly people, but the way he captured emotion in their eyes, it was impressive. He was a smooth talker, and our conversations were engaging. It wasn't pushy like some of the other guys I'd met on Tinder before, so when he invited me for dinner at his place, I said yes. He was excited to show me some of his unpublished work. Honestly, I was flattered. I'd been through a bad breakup recently, and the attention felt nice. It was a Saturday night. Liam's apartment was in a quiet building just outside the city. The inside was very minimalist. Clean white walls, just enough furniture, and lots of black frames everywhere. Once I started observing the photos, a weird feeling crept into my mind. That's what made me feel a bit off. The photos. There were dozens of them, lined up perfectly. Every inch of the wall seemed to have a face staring back at me. They weren't normal portraits either. They looked private. A woman brushing her teeth, a man staring out of a dark window, a kid sleeping on a couch. All black and white, all incredibly sharp, and all deeply unsettling, as none of them were looking at the camera. I remembered standing in front of one photo, a woman undressing in what looked like her bedroom.
Wow. Your models do know how to pose, huh? Looks so natural.
They aren't models. They're real people. He smiled, almost proud. I laughed, thinking he was joking.
So how did you capture them?
Secretly, through windows. It's the best way, honestly. I felt a cold shiver run down my spine. He poured us wine and served pasta. I kept picking at my plate. My appetite was gone. Every now and then, he'd glance over my shoulder like he was checking the light. Then, he started justifying his peeping Tom behavior for the sake of art. You see, I don't believe in posed photos. Real emotion happens when people don't know they're being watched. That's when they're most vulnerable. I asked if he had ever gotten caught. Once, he said, sipping his wine. She was angry, but I apologized and made it up to her. That's when my gut screamed at me to leave. I thanked him for dinner and said I needed to get going, but Liam stood up quickly, blocking the front door. Wait, before you go, I want to show you my masterpiece. My heart dropped. I smiled politely and nodded, pretending to be curious. All the while, I was trying to come up with an excuse, something to get out fast. As he turned toward a hallway, I quietly slipped a fork off the table and hid it in my sleeve. He led me to a door at the end of the hall. Even before he unlocked it with a key, I could smell something awful behind it. That was red flag number 200. The room was dimly lit. The smell was choking my nostrils, like something rotten had been soaked in chemicals. The moment the door creaked open, I knew I wasn't safe. There was a chair in the center of the room, and a woman was on it. At first, I thought she was alive, but her skin was gray, her limbs were swollen, her head was tilted, and she had this horrible, stiff smile on her face. Her eyes were fixated on me. Her eyeballs were filled with red veins and opened too wide. When I looked closer, I noticed movement inside her mouth. For a second, I thought she was really alive, but then her mouth moved slowly. Suddenly, her jaw flung open, and clouds of maggots dripped to the floor. Tiny maggots wriggled through her hair, too. She was wearing a red bathing suit, like she had been at the beach, but now she was posed like a mannequin, propped up like a trophy. I felt the fork slide from my hand and hit the floor. Liam stepped inside, eyes glowing with sick joy. "She's beautiful, right?" he whispered. "I caught her swimming alone 2 summers ago. I watched her for weeks before I made my move. Look at that expression. Fear, trust, confusion, all frozen forever." I couldn't breathe or blink. My brain kept trying to tell me this was fake, a sick art piece, but it wasn't. The smell was real, the flies were real, and so was the psychopath standing next to me. He kept talking, laughing like it was the best moment of his life.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Suddenly, something even more horrifying happened. I guessed it was the decomposition or the outside air getting in that room. But the woman's face suddenly sloughed off her skull, revealing the rotten flesh and bone underneath. I screamed and ran for the door. Liam's voice echoed behind me. "Where are you going? There's no need to be scared. I can fix this. I'll glue it up." "I thought you understood me." I sprinted out of the door straight to the street. I flagged down a couple driving by, screaming like a lunatic. They called the cops while I sat shaking in their back seat. When the cops arrived, I took them back to the apartment, but Liam was gone. The girl's body, the photos, were still there. My half-eaten plate of pasta was still resting on the table. They searched for weeks, put out alerts, and talked to neighbors. No one really knew him. He had only lived there a few months, paid in cash. I believe he even gave me a fake name. To this day, they haven't found him. But here's the part that really haunts me. About a month after everything happened, I received a package, no return address. Inside was a single photograph. It was me, sitting at a cafe with a coworker. I could tell the photo had been taken from outside the window. I'm a 19-year-old female who just got into college, and so far I was living a pretty normal life. I enjoy makeup and horror movies, and I often joke about them with my friends. I recently got on Tinder. It started as a joke with my roommates. They'd said I'd receive a ton of matches because I'm the hot one. I didn't think much of it because I've always been used to the attention. As I walked through the hallway in my shorts, I noticed that some boys would gaze at me with smiles, while some girls appeared visibly displeased. But once I went live on Tinder, I didn't expect my phone to blow up with notifications. I mostly ignored the weird guys. I just flirted a little to pass the time. But then I got a message from someone with the username @devotedblood. Isn't that an intriguing name? I believed that the profile was fake. It had no pictures, just a black and white rose for the profile pic. But the first message was kind of poetic. "I saw you. You're brighter than the moon and darker than sin." I rolled my eyes, but decided to strike up a conversation just for fun.
"Smooth. You write that in every girl's DMs?"
He replied instantly. "No, only you." What followed were long messages, obsessive. I'd received love letters, poems, and even drawings. At first, I laughed about it with my friends. It was harmless, or so I thought. But then he started sending photos, notes written on crumpled paper, smeared in what he said was blood. One had my name written over and over again, like in some horror movie. Another said, "I'll never let anyone else have you." At that point, I unmatched him. I believe the message was from an angsty teenager trying to appear edgy. But then, the text started coming through WhatsApp. Same username, same poems. One night, I was lying in my room scrolling through reels. I went home for the holidays and my mom was away on a work trip. Suddenly, I got texts from him again. "Do you know how crazy I am for you? I love you." I was in no mood to further encourage this creepy stranger, so I sent,
"I bet you aren't man enough to actually show your face, loser."
It was just a petty message meant to irritate him. Like, what could he really do? 5 minutes later, my doorbell rang. It was around 12:30 tonight. I was home alone. My heart dropped. I went downstairs, trying to be as quiet as possible, and peeked into the peephole. I didn't see anyone outside. I gently cracked open the door. My eyes wandered over the empty porch, and then I looked down at the ground beneath me. There was a red envelope sitting on the doorstep. I picked it up with shaking hands. It reeked of a mix of iron and something sour. Once I opened the letter, my palms got sweaty in fear. The words were written in blood, and it read, "Did you miss me?" I slammed the door shut and locked everything. My voice was breaking as I talked to the 911 dispatcher, almost on the verge of crying. She tried to calm me down and told me to stay on the line until officers arrived. I moved away from the front and turned off all the lights, hoping whoever was out there would think I wasn't home. But then I made a mistake. I went to check the backyard window, and there was indeed someone. It was a guy standing shirtless in the middle of the yard, completely still. He was merely focusing his gaze on my window. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I just watched in frozen horror. I grabbed a flashlight and flicked it on him. The beam hit his chest first, and I saw my name was carved into his skin. Trails of flesh blood oozed from every single letter. K-I-A-R-A. It looked like it had been done with something jagged, like a knife or glass. As I moved the flashlight to his face, he slowly lifted his head, and it wasn't some stranger. It was my best friend's stepdad, Alan, the same guy who used to drive us to school, who always stood a little too close, and who one time told me, "You look older than 19. The one who once commented on my Instagram selfie, "Beautiful, just like your mother." I had always felt something off about him, but I never imagined this. He gave me this twisted, almost childlike grin, like he was proud of what he'd done. I dropped the flashlight, screaming my lungs out. I rushed back in my room and crouched in the corner, crying like a 6-year-old. The cops arrived 5 minutes later, but he was already gone. They searched the yard and confiscated the letter and even discovered bloody footprints leading into the woods. I gave them all the details, the messages, the username, the notes, but they couldn't find anything linking @devotedblood to Alan. His number wasn't in my phone. The Tinder profile was already deleted. It was like he'd scrubbed everything. They issued a warrant, but he vanished. Surprisingly, he had quit his job and left my friend and her mom months back. My friend never talks about it. She can't even look at me in the eye. Her mom was taken in for questioning, but she claimed to know nothing. Weeks have gone by and I still live in fear. A few nights ago, I heard a noise at my window. I swear when I looked, I saw a shadow move away. The next morning, I found a white rose on my porch. It was soaked in human blood, tied to a note that simply said, "The blood may fade, but I never will." I'm getting a restraining order against him this weekend. My mom has told the cops to keep an eye on the guy and get him into custody the moment they spot him. I really hope he gets caught so I can have sound sleep at night.